Yeah, we get an official lead-in from Travis and Sliwa. It's fantastic. We'll give you your L.A. teams all day long. And by the way, Max Kellerman joining Keyshawn and Jay Will on the morning show, which is going to be a great move, great move. Michael Thompson's hanging out today. So, Michael, I want to give you this, this scenario that happened last night, Michael and Momo. Blake Snell, remember last year in the World Series, he was in Tampa. And he got pulled after six innings, and he was really pissed off about it because he was throwing really well. Dodgers came up back to win the game. Last night, Blake Snell took a no-hitter, threw a no-hitter through seven innings. He'd thrown 107 pitches. Both his manager, Jace Tingler, and he agreed that his night was over. He says it would have taken about 140 pitches, and they're in a playoff chase, and history can wait. Now, if I'm Blake Snell, I don't care how many pitches it takes. I'm staying in that game until and if I give up a hit. If I give up a hit, go ahead and pull me. But I want that no-hitter. I want that history, right?
Yes. I don't understand the mentality of some of these guys these days. Mace, we grew up. I'm a little bit older than you. But I grew up
a lot older, by the way.
Ah, shit. I grew up in the Ramona, you know your baseball and softball.
Yeah.
You played at the highest level for a woman that woman can play at. And I grew up in an era with Don Drysdale, Bob Gibson, Juan Marichal. You guys know the historical pitcher, Steve Carlton.
Yep.
I can't imagine those guys say, hey, coach, take me out. I've had enough. What has happened to the mentality of athletes today? I can't imagine Roger Clemens going, yeah, I think I've done here at 7th inning.
I've got a no-hitter, but you can go ahead and take me out.
Yeah.
What is that?
Soft, man. This generation's soft. Too soft. Well, I should say all of them, but too many athletes are soft now.
Well, starting pitchers just don't throw complete games anymore.
No.
Like, I was looking. This is weird. I just happen to know this. Burt Blyleven, in his career, threw 60 complete games.
Yeah.
Nobody throws complete games anymore. I don't think I've seen a complete game.
I remember Steve Carlton 1 year threw 27 complete games one season.
Yeah, it has completely changed. Now I do understand. You know what? If he's given up a hit, I'm like, okay, you've given up a hit. I understand coming out of the game. But if you're throwing a no hitter,
right,
you've got a chance to make history.
Would he have come out if it was a perfect game he was playing pitching?
Probably.
Unbelievable.
How many pitches did he throw?
107. Through seven innings.
No.
And the time before when he played against the Dodgers, wasn't that the longest start of his career? It was like 7 2/3.
No, he came out after six.
After six.
Yeah, came out after six. It was that old.
Know.
We don't want him to see. They don't want the Dodgers to see him for the third time.
Yeah, whatever. Overthinking it.
Well,
yeah,
wait. What about like the other perspective here, though, Mace? Not saying that I agree with it, but with his manager saying, well, hey, we're kind of trying to, you know, we're in a playoff race here. It's September. We need this guy every 5 days. And so if he's going to, you know, go for the no-hitter, let's say he pitches all nine innings, he's going to miss. He's probably going to have to skip his next start. So you're losing that guy again for a game when it's probably meaningful for this personal accolade. Don't you think that's kind of like the team player thing to do is say, okay, that's fine. Like, obviously you want to keep me fresh for my next start. You don't agree with that at all?
No, I understand that perspective. And had he given up a hit, I would say, all right, I'd get coming out. But, man, if I am throwing a no-hitter, and I said yesterday, I think it's one of the most exciting things in sports, a perfect game or a no-hitter.
Yeah.
It's just when Julio Urias was into the fifth with a perfect game, I was like, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. To throw a no-hitter, it's got to be an unbelievable feeling, and I'm going to hang in there for 140 pitches if that's what it takes.
We see it in
basketball. 140 pitches? Hang on. You had, I think it was Johan Santana, when he threw a no-hitter, and he threw like 150 pitches, and his arm fell off after that. He had to get Tommy John surgery. He was never the same again. His entire career totally fell off after that because he wasn't used to pitching more than like 100 pitches per outing, and he went 150, and it ruined his career.
Yeah, it might not happen with.
And it's like, for what?
Yeah, but I mean that can be an outlier. Other guys push themselves.
We see it in basketball all the time, too. A guy's on a record pace. It almost happened in a Kobe Bryant 81-point game. You know, the Phil Jackson, what was going to take him out, and Tex
Winter.
Well,
sure, because it was a competitive game, it wasn't a bad look for Kobe to stay in and continue
scoring. The Warriors
did
that a few times, right? Like,
frustrating.
Clay and Steph, like, they've had a million points in the first three quarters, and then Steve Kerr sits him the fourth.
Exactly. Clay had 14 threes at the end of three against the Bulls, did play the fourth. I mean, let him try to get to 20.
Dang.
He had 60 points after 29 minutes and didn't play the fourth quarter.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
In this situation, it's different because, you know, the Padres are in a playoff hunt, and he's your ace pitcher, and you don't want that guy to get hurt. You don't even want him to get like a hangnail because you want that guy to be fresh because he's got to be ready to go every fit. He's your number one starter. And if he gets hurt because he threw too many pitches for a meaningless game, you know, then what does that say about the manager? What does that say about – don't you think you'd get way more criticism if he kept him in there and then he ended up getting hurt and everyone's like, oh, now look what you did.
Yeah, but you're just assuming your hypothetical is he gets hurt.
Think that it's ever good for a pitcher to throw, you know, 40 pitches a game.
He had two innings. He says 140. It could have definitely taken less.
Yeah. He might have struck the next three batters out, six batters out. You never know. But so, Lindsay, if he was working on a perfect game, that would have been fine too?
I don't know, because those are really, really rare. But if I'm going to stand by my point, which I guess I will.
Yeah,
and
okay,
again,
this
isn't my perspective. I'm just making a point for the alternative.
Okay.
If the goal is to keep your starter, your number one starter, your ace, healthy, you've got this game pretty much locked up, and you want him to be able to pitch again in 4 or 5 days or whatever, I think you got to take him out. Or at least ask him, like, hey, let's go out. And if he puts up a big, huge, crazy fight, maybe you leave him in there, but I think that you have to weigh both sides of it.
Okay.
And in this situation, I personally would want the accolades, and I'd probably be selfish. You want to stay in. But the team player thing to do would be like, all right, you're right. I'll go hit the shower.
Oh, yeah, that's a good hypothetical. If you're Blake Snell, are you okay with coming out in the middle of a no-hitter knowing that you're in a pennant race and maybe you're reserving yourself for the stretch run? 877-710-ESPN. I think it's a really soft move, man. You know, I always like that Steve Jobs quote. His goal in life was to make a dent in the universe.
Mm.
You know, you've got a no-no. Very few guys get to say that. I threw a no-hitter. It is a momentous achievement. And if I've got a chance at it, I don't care if it takes 140 pitches. I'm going to make history.
That's right.
By the way, I shorted.
What if it were a Dodgers player, though?
Same thing. Okay. Go for the no-no.
I just don't think you get very far in life playing it safe.
That's right.
Don't you think? I think we had this situation with Ross Stripling a couple of years ago. Oh, with Rich Hill. Yeah, you're right.
With Rich Hill. He got pulled out.
Got pulled out.
Yep.
He was upset about it, as I remember.
He was real mad.
By the way, I shorted Burt Blyleven. 60 complete game shutouts.
Wow.
60 complete game shutouts. That is insane. Insane.
Now, I hate to do this but that was back in the day before. I mean, did you see the photo that Chris Taylor posted a couple days ago on his Instagram where every single player in the dugout is watching hitting on an iPad?
And
he's just like, they're just breaking down their last at bat on an iPad in the dugout. And I was like, yeah, that is totally modern baseball.
Yeah,
and Burt Blyleven, no offense at any of the accomplishments that he had, okay? That's an amazing accomplishment. People weren't watching the last at bat on an iPad in the dugout and making adjustments like that.
So do you think they should – I thought there was a rule against technology in the dugout. Is that not the case? Are you allowed to have iPads in the dugout now?
I don't know. Let me send you the photo.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is one of those things, Michael. This is where the game has changed, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Studying film, studying, you know, you've got an iPad. You can look at it in the NBA. You can do it. As a quarterback, you can do it. Looking at defenses. As a baseball hitter, you can do it. Looking at your last at bat. That's technology has really revolutionized sports, right?
Oh, yeah.
That didn't catch you with a full comment, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you, by the way, 877-710-ESPN, let me ask you about Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Who is in Philly and is reportedly unhappy, and at least according to some sources, says, I'm willing to be traded anywhere. Momo, what do you know about that?
Well, it's kind of been the same thing that we've heard since all off season. But the question is, you know, Ben doesn't want to go back there. He obviously had a horrible postseason. It all went really bad, and it got worse during the playoffs, where he couldn't shoot a free throw. Then he didn't dunk the ball because he didn't want to get fouled and then have to shoot a free throw. I would venture to say that's humiliating. That's pretty hard to come back from in a city like that. Although I think if you just said, "Hey, I had a really bad time and I'm really working on it, and I started in Philly and I'm gonna make my way in Philly." I mean, I think if he had some kind of, you know, if he had that attitude, I actually do think they'd give him another chance. But his stance hasn't changed. He doesn't really want to go back there. He wants a fresh start.
Doc Rivers ruined it for him.
How's really? That?
When they asked Doc, can you win a championship, or is Ben Simmons a championship point guard? And Doc said, "I don't know." That killed Ooh. It right
okay,
there.
Okay, but you know what that is? I understand.
I don't want to hear that, Ramona. Any coach said when a coach starts doubting you openly like that, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Time to go. He lost me as a player. That's the way I'd feel. I'm done.
Do you know that Ben Simmons has only attempted 34 three-pointers in his career?
Yeah, he's not a shooter. Not an outside shooter.
Now, but why don't you learn to shoot? I mean, if you're Ben Simmons and you want to complete your game, and he keeps saying every year, I'm working on it.
Yep.
It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, you've got to improve your game and add that to your skill set.
You're right.
I've seen big guys do that. You know, Pau Gasol, who we've got on the Lakers, never was a three-point shooter. And all of a sudden, bam, he was able to make threes because he went out and worked on it. Now, why can't Ben Simmons do that?
I agree, Steve. He should work on it. He should take that responsibility and say, "I'm going to get better at this. I won't turn into Steph or Clay or Bradley Beal, but he can get a little bit more respectable." And also, as a coach, you're getting paid millions of dollars. Coach his ass up. That's what they're paying you for. Coach him up.
I think that's what he was doing. I mean, like, Michael, I'm surprised you say that, because you've always been the guy that, like, I guess the way I'm wired is, like, if a coach doesn't show faith in me, like, I'll be real with you. I don't think my coach had a lot of faith in me in college. I looked down at third base, and he'd look like, "Oh, God, I wish I had Mendoza up." Okay? Like, that's the truth. And I knew it. We all knew it. But your response has got to be, "I'll show you."
Yeah.
Your response is going to be, "I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to get this hit. And you're going to believe in me." I don't need my coach to believe in me. I got to believe in myself.
True. That's true.
And Joel Embiid, he got himself in a little trouble today because he kind of answered it on Twitter. And he said, "You know, 2 years ago, the fans were booing me, and I'll never forget that. But my answer was not to clap back at the fans. It was to show you that you should believe in me." And so Joe got himself in really good shape. He had an MVP kind of year last year. And that's the only answer that you can have.
And people forget, Mace and Momo, how good a player Ben Simmons is. Yeah, he had a little brain freeze there shooting the ball, but my goodness, the guy does everything else
so
well.
He's awesome.
He does.
You know,
he has got an unbelievable skill set.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. He just has to add the shooting dimension to his game.
Well, Michael, there comes a point, though, and I agree with this. There comes a point where sometimes it's just easier to start over. It's just easier to get a fresh start someplace where you don't have all this history and this baggage, and you don't spend all your time talking about what happened last year and what happened elsewhere. Like, sometimes it is easier, and I would support Ben if he feels that way, because he really has given
Man,
it
I
to
tell
go
you,
there.
You but, you played Ramona, you, Steve. You tried to play, but Ramona.
I did. I tried really hard, Michael.
If a coach said to Ramona Shelburne, "Do you trust?" In an interview, "Do you trust Ramona up at the plate with runners in scoring position?" And he goes, "I don't know." How would that make you feel?
I would feel bad, but I guarantee you it's the same thing, the same little doubt that I got in my head, and I'd be like, "I'll show you." That's how I'd respond to it. If you say to me, "Hey, Mama, I'm not sure if you're the one, if you could handle this job," I'll be like, "Okay, watch." Mm-hmm. You just step back. I mean, that's the way I'm wired. You tell me right now, "Hey, I don't know if you could, you know, I want you to write this big story. Do you think you're up for it?" Hell yeah, I'm up for it.
Yeah, but maybe your boss is saying that to you one-on-one. When your boss, would you like your boss to go in front of the world and say,
"Fine.
I don't have any faith in her"?
I don't care.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah,
see, I think
man.
that's a way to break
confidence.
I'm competitive,
confidence. Man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
by the way, Momo, players are different. Some players respond to that challenge.
Yeah, that's true.
And some players are really hurt by that.
Heck yeah.
And it breaks them. So you've got to know your players, and you've got to know how to manage
your
players.
And maybe that's right. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's like an individual thing. Like, somebody can be wired a little differently. But, like, to me, I'm always going to be my hardest critic. I'm always going to be whatever you say about me publicly, I guarantee you I've thought worse about myself privately.
Yeah.
In my own head. So go ahead and say whatever you want. What do you want to say about me publicly? That's fine. Like, it's not going to hurt me. I'll tell you something Kobe told me once, okay?
Okay.
And this was when Kobe would hear a lot of criticism, or people would talk about him shooting too much or this or that. And I would say, like, hey, did you hear whatever that said? And he goes, I don't really care what anybody said. It's not – everybody has said everything they could ever possibly say about me that's negative. I've heard it all. I don't care. Hmm. I've already heard it. It doesn't matter.
But what do you care if Phil Jackson was saying it?
I think there might be a little part of him that's wounded. Sure, yeah. It would hurt.
Right.
But he would go out and he would try to prove him wrong. Guarantee you Kobe would.
All right.
I don't know, though. But remember one time that happened for real? Phil was – he criticized Kobe for shooting too much. Remember
yeah,
the
that's
game?
Right.
Kobe,
yeah.
Remember, I think it was against Phoenix in the playoffs, and Kobe did not shoot the ball. Remember that? He said, okay,
yeah,
I'll show you. I won't shoot then. See?
I know, but that's a little different because that wasn't saying I don't think Kobe's good enough. That wasn't saying I don't think Kobe's, you know, has it in him to be a champion or has it in him to be a leader. That's saying, Kobe, you're doing too much. And Kobe's like –
and then he did nothing.
Yeah, I know. He was going to show you. Well, I'll show you what it's like when I do this.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hey, tell you what. Coming up next, Michael, this is a story that I've been sitting on since the weekend.
Ooh.
That is really, really good for you. It is another potential mascot change.
Oh, what? Man.
You love this stuff, Michael. Yeah. And this one is especially weird. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, make an appointment with us Tuesday and every day because we're covering L.A. teams better than anybody is. And by the way, Emily's doing a great job producing Travis and Sliwa. All joking aside, Emily's doing a great job. Sliwa and Travis both doing a great – I love the show. I listen to it when I go out on my drive in the morning. They're doing a great job. So all the joking aside, it's going to be a great show every day from 9:55 to 1 p.m.
I got to tell you, I don't think you've made it on 710 ESPN unless Mason has called you out a little bit.
That's true. That's true.
It's like you're like Kobe here.
But I would never call out Michael Thompson, who's hanging out with us.
No, today. No, I wouldn't mess with
except
him
when
either.
He Googles. He Googles
hey,
during games.
Are you
games
still
sometimes.
Accusing me of that false thing?
Yeah, I am. I absolutely am.
I'll take that accusation back. I'll take that accusation back because you brought the ring. Dude, I'm geeking out over this ring over here.
Yeah. So you brought one of your championship rings in.
Yeah. Jorge asked me to bring it up.
And he did, and it's sitting next to me. It's beautiful. I've took pictures of it, video. It's on Twitter. Man, it's a
so
beautiful,
cool.
Beautiful ring.
What year is this championship ring from,
20,
Michael?
20.
Oh, so this is one
yeah,
of your
the recent
ones
one.
That you
yeah,
got.
The last
yeah,
one.
The most recent one.
Yeah, and I should get another one this year if the guys stay healthy.
What do you do with the ones that you won as a player?
Oh, they're at home, and I keep them in a nice box. But compared to the rings today, my championship rings looks like Cracker Jack rings. Even though
really?
Sentimentally compared to the ostentatious rings guys get now.
All right, so Michael, I've been waiting on this for you. There is another nickname. You know, we know it's the Cleveland Guardians. Ramona knows very well. Stanford became the Cardinal, and their mascot is a tree. Which I actually love.
It's the band's mascot, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really funny. But the Arizona State Sun Devils have come under fire.
Why?
So, you know, their mascot is Sparky, who is a devil with a pitchfork mm-hmm. and a pointy tail.
Yeah.
The new petition online is demanding that the Arizona State Sun Devils change their nickname. Here's what some of the highlights of what they say. Anyone with an ounce of Christian belief will have a hard time pledging allegiance or being loyal to or spending money with the devil. With every T-shirt, souvenir, and game ticket they sell, they solidify their consent that idolizing the devil is just fine with them. The school was not always so Luciferian. The original name was the Owls. Later, they changed to the Normals, and once again to the Bulldogs. Sun Devils is the fourth name for ASU's namesake, voted on by a very small ASU student body in 1946. So Christians are starting this petition because they are offended that a devil is the mascot for Arizona State. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You're a Christian.
Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But the Blue Devils for Duke, Sun Devils, the New Jersey Devils, it doesn't bother me. If a team's mascot's name or team's nickname is that, does it promote the devil? I don't think it's promoting the devil or Satanism or anything like that. Is it? I don't see it. I never looked at it that way. I mean,
it is a weird way to look at it.
Yeah, it is kind of strange. You gotta really look hard. You know what? What's more offensive to me is team's name. Okay, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Would you want your son or daughter to be a pirate?
Oh, I'm okay with pirates.
Yeah. Do you know what pirates do, Ramona?
I know.
They rob people, rape women, and kill people.
They maraud.
Right. You okay with that, Ramona?
No, not so much.
Well, there you go. So why would you want a nickname after a bunch of murderers? Why don't you jump in a sailboat? Why don't you jump in a yacht, Ramona, if pirates don't bother you, and try to sail off the coast of Somalia?
See how hard that's really the
those
only
are real
place
pirates.
Where there are
well, there you go.
Those are real pirates.
You are promoting killers and thieves.
But I'm talking about the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, what do you think they did?
I'm talking about the Disneyland pirates. Yeah,
listen, I'm from the Bahamas. I know what pirates did in the Caribbean Sea. They were killing.
Yo-ho-ho.
Yeah. The
pirate's life.
Yeah, they weren't just around drinking a bunch of rum and having a good time, Ramona. But, you know, hey, but all these nicknames, it doesn't bother me. I don't know. People are just too – people are bored. They got too many – they got nothing to worry about, I guess.
They still got Pirates in the Caribbean now.
What do you mean? You mean down there now? You got to be careful. If you have a very expensive yacht, you have to carry some – have to carry someone to protect yourself.
Oh, come on, Michael.
You never know, Mace.
You really, on your yacht.
I would advise it, to have some kind of protection when you people, because you are a big target in those waters. Because we don't have the U.S. Coast Guard there to protect us. We got our
own. Do you own a yacht, Michael?
Well, yeah, if you consider a 75-footer a yacht, sure.
Oh!
That was a very funny answer to that question. It was so nonchalant. If you consider it 75.
I just consider it a boat.
It's a big boat.
You have a 75-foot
Michael,
yacht.
You are a baller, and it's okay to remind people of that.
Yeah,
but Michael's also 7 feet tall. I need the
headroom, Lindsay. But
that
I consider
is
it just a
baller
a
boat. Move.
I just consider it the SS Minnow. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, we know what happened to the SS Minnow.
Yeah, but if you talk to anyone who owns a yacht, a cruising yacht, ocean-going yacht, you got to be very concerned about getting robbed on the high seas.
Well, what do you carry with you?
Well, you know, a little protection.
Yeah, which is?
You know,
a bat.
Yeah, a big bat, Mace. Big stick.
Is that what it is?
Baseball bat.
A big stick, like Teddy Roosevelt said. Carry a big stick.
That's what I have in my house. I got a metal bat. Mm-hmm. I got a metal bat. If anybody tries to mess with me, I'm coming out with my metal bat.
Yeah, like what are you going to do, swing at the bullets?
Well,
nope.
Here's you know what I got, and I've talked about this before.
Take all the money you want. Take whatever you want.
Michael, you know I got a shotgun in my house.
Good. You should have the protection. Nothing wrong with that.
Shotgun. If you are, and I was trained. I learned to clean gun. My dad respected.
Yeah. You were an expert marksman.
I was a pro marksman. Yeah. Exactly. I was rated that way by the NRA when I went to Divine Word Camp in Maumee, Ohio.
Yeah.
And you know the other thing is we were. And this will make us sound a certain way, our family, but we did have a gigantic gun rack in our family room. It was right above the TV.
Cool.
There was a pistol. There were shotguns. There were rifles. We learned to respect guns at a very early age, and we hunted. I mean, I shot my first buck when I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of that. Some people will be, offended that I did that, but we ate deer meat. We ate deer meat all winter long.
Right.
We blended it with beef, and we had deer burgers and deer steaks and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, as long as you aren't hunting for trophies. If you're hunting to eat, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, we hunted to eat.
I just bought a burner gun.
A what?
BYRNA is burner. What it is it's not lethal. What it does is shoots tear gas pellets at the intruder. And what it does is stops you in your tracks. If anybody's in your house, if an intruder, it doesn't kill them, but if it explodes on their chest or any part of their bodies and gets into their eyes, believe me, all they're going to do is writhe on the ground in extreme pain until the cops get there. I didn't want to kill anybody in my house. So I said, you know what? Right. I'm just going to get someone that's going to stop him in the tracks. This burner gun actually works. This is amazing. It's shot with pellets out of a gas canister, but it's a handgun. It's a real deal, but it definitely will stop any intruder in his tracks.
By the way, you got a tweet on the this is Timmy Chomp Chomp, who tweets us pretty regularly. He tweeted about the Blake Snell thing. He says, Steve Jobs left a mark on the world by showcasing the abilities and talents of a team of unknown people. Snell chose the team over self. He pitched for the W. Jobs stood on stage alone. Ooh. Does that make sense?
Nah, not if you compete, not if you're a player. You got to go for history, baby.
Yeah, I'm going for history. Yeah. If I got a chance to throw no hitter, I'm going to throw no hitter.
Heck yeah. And if the guy says, Coach, my arm is sore, then you take him out. But if he's feeling fine, leave him in.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was very, very disappointed in both Jace Tingler and Blake Snell on that particular move, which I think is really
Imagine the fans sitting there hoping to see a no-hitter thrown by this guy. And
disappointing as a fan in the stadium to miss the opportunity to see a no-hitter.
Yep, this might be your only chance to see one.
Yep, I have been to a lot of baseball games in my life. I have never been to a no-hitter, Michael. I dream of going to a no-hitter.
It's amazing that all the games you've been to, you haven't seen one.
Have not seen a no-hitter, ever.
I've seen one. I saw Urban Santana pitch one when he was pitching for the Angels against the Indians.
When were you aware he was pitching a no-hitter? What inning, Lindsay?
Oh, we started talking about it in like the seventh.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just like, no, please don't do this. Please don't do this, because it was against the Indians. And I was covering the Indians and also rooting for them. And, you know, the press conference afterwards and stuff, that was really cool. But at the same time, it was kind of disappointing. It was against the team that, you know, I was rooting for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I start thinking about it super early, Michael.
Really?
Sometimes I'm in the third inning. Like all right.
Or the first hit, you go, there goes the no-hitter.
I always say that.
That's my dad. My dad does
it
every game.
And as a joke, in the first inning, I'll even say it. There goes the no-hitter.
Yeah, that's my dad.
I'm always thinking no-no. All right, coming up next, Michael, there are parents who've got to pay $30,441 to their kid for getting rid of his porn cachet, his porn collection. I want to get your take on this coming up next. And don't forget, we got Radio Tinder coming up for you at 2:45, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, Michael Thompson and Momo here.
Yeah.
Michael, have you ever had a collection of something?
I had, baseball cards. It's like sports magazines growing up. Sure.
So, when you left home, and did you leave it with your folks? Did you leave it with your family?
Yeah, I just left it in my room.
Okay. So, let's say your family throws away all of your baseball cards, copies of Sports Illustrated or whatever it was, collector's items. Mm-hmm. Do you think you have recourse against your parents? Like, can you sue them?
Sue them? I guess you can, but I would not just be mad at them. I don't know if I would sue them, but yeah, sure, I can understand why someone would want to do that.
Momo, what about you? Do you have any collections?
Yeah, I got some baseball cards. I have like some baseball and hockey cards. I used to work at a baseball card store like one summer. I used to go down there all the time. So I got a bunch of good stuff. The worst thing my dad ever threw away, I remember after I graduated college, I went on the proverbial 6 weeks in Europe kind of tour. So I slept in youth hostels and I traveled all around, went on the trains and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I just, I picked up a bunch of little gifts and trinkets and things like that from all the places I went. And I had them in a bag in my old bedroom. And my dad didn't realize what it was, and he like put it in the donation pile. And I came back and I was like, "Hey, what happened to that bag over there?" He's like, "Oh, Salvation Army came by last week." And I was like, "Oh, dude, you just gave away like all my stuff from Europe. That was
ever consider suing your family over this?
No, it was just a mistake. Okay, I was dumb, but
got a story for you. David Working is 43 years old, and his parents threw away his porn collection. And this included, among other things, so he sued his parents over this. And you know what? The judge has ruled in his favor. His parents have to pay
what?
Him $30,000 for his
porn stash. The porn collection is worth $30,000? How much porn was that?
Well, plus it's you know, the suffering, the emotional suffering that you have when something like that happens.
Oh, my goodness.
Your whole collection.
So, wait, was he still living at home, or was this just something he left in his old bedroom?
Something he left in his old bedroom.
And he's of the age, so he's 43. It's not like he's a minor.
Right. He's 43 years old. Mom and dad threw out the porn collection, and he sued him for $30,000 and won.
It is his.
Wow.
He's in their house.
Yep.
Does that carry any jurisdiction?
You're right. If it is, you know, possession is 90% of the law, isn't that an expression? Yeah. So if you leave it there, I guess it's really the parents can do whatever they want. It's not their responsibility to keep track of this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't leave anything with my parents. Like, I've got my comic book collection. I've got not a lot, but I've got some. I've got an enormous baseball card collection. That I keep in my studio here. But, yeah, I would never consider suing my parents, even though they did give away my record collection. You know, back in the day, I remember for people who are younger, they used to have these things called 45s.
Yeah.
It was just a little disc.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a collection of 45s. Do you remember the first 45 you ever bought?
Hmm.
Me?
Let's see.
No, I was too. We didn't
you
have
were, You were past time. That. Michael, do you remember the 45s that you bought?
Yeah, probably.
What 45 can you remember?
I probably something to do with the Jackson 5. Maybe I'll be there by the Jackson 5 because that was my era.
So mine
was...
Yeah,
my generation CDs and... Yeah.
Mine was Chicago... Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died. Do you remember that song? Daddy was a cop on the east side of Chicago.
I remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
Jorge, dig that up. That's a classic song. That was my very first 45. Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died. Classic song. Very, very bubblegum.
So classic that nobody knows it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll know it when you hear it.
Have you ever heard of the group Chicago,
probably.
Lindsay?
Lindsay, have you ever heard of the group Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
But I was just making fun of you saying it being a classic song, yet none of us have heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a classic. It's a classic. Absolute classic. All right, so Michael, I want to get to this real quick. Well, Jorge will dial that up. There
nope.
it is.
Okay. I don't know this, but it's...
Yeah, I don't remember this.
All right.
You heard this before, Ramona?
No, but I like it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this song. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was my first 45.
Wow.
First 45.
You can't dance to that.
That's cool.
Can you dance to that?
I mean, but...
Yeah, you can
dance. Like, here's how
I
feel about people... Can you dance to that, Michael? I'm not going to make the joke that I was thinking.
Jump around like howdy
doody. I'm not going to make the joke I was thinking. Yeah. You know what you kind of do? There's a sway. You do a little sway, and then maybe you could do a little headbang. You know, a little headbang and sway. That's how you dance.
You're a dancer.
Hey, we have it in Spanish, too. Look.
No, this is real. You could dance to this.
Is that really?
It is. It's Spanish.
Wow. The Spanish version?
It is.
Could you
dance? I like that way better. I could dance to that.
Wow.
You can salsa to that, can't you, Lindsay? You can salsa.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a great mix.
That's how I knew that song. I knew that song because of that Spanish one, Mace. That's why I had to ask
the
question.
Wow.
Man, Mace, you can't dance to your version, Mace.
Cooler than I thought.
So they threw all your 45s out? Your
pants?
Yeah,
they threw all my 45s out.
Wow. And,
okay, so here's my way of handling this. I have a lot of people who like to store stuff at my house, okay?
Yep.
I got all these relatives. I'm not going to name them. They was going, hey, you got a big garage. Can I put my chairs over there? Can I put my massage table in there? Can I put my old stuff? I'm like, yeah, I got a big garage. But there comes a point when it's been 5 years and you say, okay, if you don't come and get your stuff in the next year, I'm going to throw it out or donate it.
Yep. I think that's totally fair.
And you give them 1 year.
I never sued my parents. I would never sue my parents over.
Did they give you a warning or did they just throw it out?
Nope, just threw it out.
Wow.
This is junk. I'm just going to throw it out. Wow. Be cool to have now. All right, coming up next for you, Radio Tinder. Michael, we always love this, right?
Yeah.
Lindsay brings her A game.
She does.
And we'll do some Radio Tinder coming up next for you. And then I want to talk a little Dodgers and NFL quarterbacks. Michael, this is sort of your bailiwick. This is your jam.
Yes.
NFL quarterbacks and those rookies coming up for you at 3 o'clock. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Lindsay, people get it. They understand your Instagram handle and you don't need to promote it so much. By the way, Michael Thompson, Ramona Shelburne here. It's time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what do you got?
Just want to throw it out there that it has been mentioned a number of times that the listeners that listen on the stream and to the podcast, they do not have the wonderful privilege of hearing Chris Morales, his imaging, or the rejoin.
Good for them. That's why
it's always important for me to mention my Instagram and Twitter at Lindsay Baseball.
What happened to your OnlyFans? You still got that?
I still have OnlyFans too, which is also at Lindsay Baseball. And you can find the direct link to that on my Instagram, at Lindsay Baseball.
Okay. Enough of Lindsay Baseball. What is on Radio Tinder today?
Well, NBA star Jimmy Butler says that his agent, Bernard Lee, requested that he stops cussing on social media today. Well, in his response to the suggestion, Butler took to his Instagram and addressed his agent Lee directly this morning. He explained through Instagram stories that Lee would prefer for him to keep his social media clean. So he did what Jimmy Butler does, and he proceeded to wish you mother blankers a good day. Obviously, you know, he was joking, but I don't think he's going to take his agent's plea to heart. Right. Do you think that Jimmy Butler or any high-profile NBA star or professional athlete, I guess, in general, should be censoring themselves from cursing on social media? Swipe left or swipe right?
Right, yes. I know
you think
cursing.
They should be censoring themselves.
Yeah, cursing happens. I know people curse as normal as breathing, but when you're putting it out there for the public to read, you don't really have to do it. In your private conversations, I understand people curse. That people curse around me here in the studio, so it doesn't. You know, that's just life. But
you've hung out with me, Michael.
Exactly. And if that's the way you choose to speak, that's on you, and so be it. But if you want to represent yourself and your team and the league in a professional, mature way, then yeah, you should curb that type of speaking.
Momo, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, when I'm off air, I will definitely drop a few four-letter words or, you know, whatever. But I find that if I just think, because obviously on air we can't, and I have a kid now, and so the last thing you want to do when your kid's gonna like listen to what you're saying is pick up those words. And both of, you know, between being on air and not wanting Daniel to hear me talk like that, I really have cut back. And I think it's so unnecessary. Most cursing is totally unnecessary. It just makes, it's not adding to what you're saying. It's just kind of loose.
Oh, I disagree.
I do too.
I think it adds to what you're saying a whole lot. Because
I think
get out of my bleeping way is very different than get out of my way.
So, yeah, I think it is, and by the way, there are research studies that say it's healthier. You get rid of your anger better.
So if you guys were like, say on a public event, say a public figure, or say a commencement address, they should be dropping the F word and all kinds of cuss words. Well, what's the difference?
There's an appropriateness. You're talking to kids.
But I feel like there's some cursing. It does. Of course, sometimes the cursing is done to make a point. But most of the time, people just use it every other word.
Yeah.
Like, it just seeps into your speech, and you just say it all the time.
Like, when the president gets dressing the nation, should he use the F word and all that stuff?
No, I agree with you guys. I think that pro athletes, whether or not there are a lot of young people that look up to them, they are seen by many as role models, whether they want to be or not. So I agree with you guys, because it's not like it's just a video or a natural human reaction, and it's brought up in conversation. You're taking the time to think out and type something up, and I think that you should take the extra couple seconds to censor yourself.
That's what I do.
Yeah, no, and I'm saying I don't disagree with you guys, but I am disagreeing with the idea that it doesn't add anything, because I think that it does emphasize points quite a bit. But there is also a study, just so you guys know, and I remember reading it months ago, and Mason was bragging because he curses a lot, that people who curse tend to be smarter and have higher IQs.
Yep.
Really?
Just throwing it out there.
Fact.
Yeah, it's fact.
I don't see that.
That makes me
I don't
the
see
smartest
that the
guy
case.
In the room. Yeah, you know what? Look, there are repercussions, obviously. Jimmy Butler using the MF and all that stuff on Twitter. Nobody's going to want him to endorse their product, right?
Well,
as an ESPN employee, I don't use – like I did a podcast today. The guest cursed. I do not curse on public because, you know, because I work for ESPN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I'm done at ESPN and I'm doing podcasts, I probably will curse sometimes because I think it is good for a point of emphasis. But if this is Jimmy Butler's brand, if this is who he wants to be in the world, if this is how he really wants to represent himself, I say – swipe left, go ahead and do it. You're going to hurt your endorsement potential, but if that's who you are, if that's who you want to be in the world, then go ahead and do it.
Ramona, are you going to let little Bobby curse around you when he's 18, 19 years of age?
Bobby.
Little Bobby. little Bobby.
What's his name?
Daniel.
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 Yeah.
Like, really not even close. Yeah. Well, his middle name is Charlie, so I guess that's closer to Bobby. Anyway, look, if he curses, it's okay. I just don't like it when it's every other word. Like most, I just think that there's some times when cursing can feel appropriate and can feel like you're making a point. I don't think it's necessary. Like my editor would always say, like most of the time when you say very or really or all those extra words, like you probably could just get by without it.
My boys don't curse around me.
You have the same sentence without.
Do they curse when they're not around you?
Probably, but I never curse. I don't use curse words. Obviously, I'll say the D word or the S word if I miss a putt or something like that. But usually in ordinary speech, no, I don't curse. What about Javier? Does he curse around you, Mason?
No, he does not. He's not a big cursor. I
curse a lot.
You do,
but I don't curse in front
of
my
this.
Parents.
I love this. Javier and
just
Bobby.
Let Michael go. I mean, he's just going to say everything. It's
Juan. Juan. Okay.
All right. Well, speaking of bad decisions, I guess we'll say, people attempting to get whatever viral fame that they can get on TikTok are no longer going to be able to do that with the Milk Crate Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
The app has banned videos of people attempting the risky trend, citing safety concerns. Quote, TikTok prohibits content that promotes or glorifies dangerous acts.
Yeah.
We remove videos and redirect searches to our community guidelines to discourage such content. We encourage everyone to exercise caution in their behavior, whether online or off, the company said in a statement. A search for the hashtag Milk Crate Challenge on TikTok brought up a no results found page in the following sentence. This phrase may be associated with behavior or content that violates our guidelines. Promoting safe and positive experiences is TikTok's top priority. Should TikTok be banning/censoring content like this? Swipe left or swipe right?
Boy, this is tough.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely, they should. I know one of the things that is the new frontier for laws in this country, okay, is going to be what is the responsibility of social media companies to police what is on their site to edit. And right now, the laws and the courts have ruled that they don't have an obligation to, like, what's on their site doesn't necessarily, they are not legally liable for what happens.
They don't, because it's a public forum.
It's a public forum. However, you are the host company. So Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all that. If somebody dies doing the Milk Crate Challenge and they're upset and they want to sue somebody, they could come after TikTok. I don't think they will win. The current laws in the country say they probably will not win. But all it takes is one judgment to go against you. And this will change everything, and it will be very damaging to a public company like that.
First of all, I think I could do the Milk Crate Challenge. It doesn't look that hard to me.
It's really
please
hard.
Try it. Please.
No,
please do us all a favor and try it.
Have
and
you ever
posted
so?
A video everywhere?
No. Please don't try it, Mace. You're my
I will totally try it. Master of the Mace Plan. I will give it a go.
Your ankle will not take it, man. No, trust. Don't do it.
What was the one where you broke your leg? Remember you live on air broke your leg doing that thing?
So I've made some mistakes in my life. So, Momo, where does this stop? Where does this censorship stop?
Well, I think
anything that endangers the public.
Yeah.
Something that endangers the public.
Well, that's a slippery slope because I feel like
people are legit getting hurt doing that thing.
Yeah.
The Tide Pod Challenge. I mean, people are totally going to poison control over that.
But
right.
People need to have their own level of personal responsibility
for
their actions.
Absolutely, Lance, preach.
And I'm sorry, but like, the fact that you want to blame a social media company because you decided to stack up a bunch of milk crates and try and get to the top of it,
well,
you're an idiot. You're
so,
an idiot.
Okay. So do you agree with the seatbelt law, Lindsay?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's your responsibility,
yeah, that
right?
That is.
But that's different.
Oh. No, it's different.
It's different because you have to have a license to drive a car, and that's one of the rules that goes along with having that license. And driving is a privilege, not a right.
Right.
And going on social media is a public forum, and at any time, TikTok or Twitter or whatever, they can make whatever rules they want, and you have to abide to their terms and conditions. But I think that it's a slippery slope to censor people's content because, like Mason said, then you get into like political things and what's
ideas,
misinformation
and
what's not.
Hey, what about somebody on TikTok smoking a cigarette?
Right. That's dangerous.
That's
dangerous. Are you going to blame TikTok? Are you going to sue them because you saw somebody on TikTok doing it?
Yeah,
that's like
I'm a big personal responsibility guy, too. You know, I'm very libertarian. If you want to dance on milk crates, that's your business. TikTok should not be held responsible. And TikTok also, because this is a slippery slope, I don't think they should be regulating it.
No, I don't think so either.
Well, it's a little like children's TV, right? For a long time, if you were showing children's TV and cartoons during a certain time period, you couldn't air certain commercials. Like adult type commercials, you couldn't air that during your children's TV. Now that's going away now because we just have everything on demand. But
haven't some Cartoon Network taken off Tom and Jerry because they say it's too violent?
Oh, too violent! Tom and Jerry, very violent. Yeah. Hey, what about Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah.
Looney Tunes, super violent, and that just goes back to the point. Like anybody can interpret something a certain way. And so if I'm doing like a makeup tutorial with a certain type of makeup and I'm promoting, like anyone can go on there and be like, oh, well, she did this makeup tutorial and told me that I should use this type of eyeliner and it made me go blind because I'm allergic to it. So I'm going to sue her. Like, I just feel like it's a slippery slope that you can't do that.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's on you. It's on you, Michael. You have to believe in personal responsibility.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I don't think this is TikTok's business. If people want to dance on milk crates, that's their own business. Yeah. If they get
including
hurt,
you, Mace. Do it.
Including
I
me.
I want to see it.
I need to get me some milk crates.
Please
I'll
don't.
Do it. I'm stupid.
All right, last
got one
here.
More, Lance?
Yes, a mother caused a rift between her children after she sold the family home to one child and not the other. She asked Reddit's Am I the A-hole forum for some advice. She said, my husband and I have four adult children, Henry, Lisa, Elizabeth, and Sean. We bought a 6-bedroom house for next to nothing before Henry was born. Now that all our kids moved out, we decided to sell our house and downsize. We offered Henry and his wife to sell them our house, which is worth $3 million, for the price of the house they were going to buy, which was $1 million, and they were elated. So we drew up a contract, we have a payment plan in place, and everything's all great. Well, I told my daughter Lisa this, and she said that this was very unfair when she found out that we're selling the house to Henry and Abigail. Mm-hmm. She was enraged because she wasn't offered to buy the house because she's also looking for a bigger place. Well, I told her Henry and Abigail need the space more because they have kids, and she's single and childless. Then they started to yell at me for discriminating against her because she's single and childless. Is the mother the a-hole? Swipe left or swipe right?
You know, I got to give it to Henry. He's a good negotiator. I'm gonna swipe whatever it is that says the lady's right. Is it right or left, Lance?
Well, if you want to know if the mother is the a-hole or not, if you think she's not the a-hole, then you swipe left.
Yeah, she's not the a-hole. I mean, Henry, who just made a good deal. He was negotiating. He got them to sign on the line that is dotted.
Ooh. No, I go right, Mace, because she didn't give the other kids a chance to see if they wanted the house, or at least they should have talked about it as a family.
But wait a minute. Right. If it's Henry's idea and he says, hey, Mom, I want to buy your house, the other kids didn't ask, so why should the other kids be upset?
Well, then he should pay them. And here's the thing. He should, like, when you have an asset that would likely transfer to all six kids, is it six kids or four kids?
Whatever. Four adults.
To all the kids. The kids. You know, in the will. Okay. So after the parents pass on, they would probably split it four ways. So they all just lost out. If he got it for a third of the price, that $200,000 profit that he just made should be split amongst the other three.
Yeah, Mace, you are.
That's not fair.
Spoken like a childless man, Mace.
Hey, hey.
I'm not ashamed of that, Michael.
Why are you pinning that on me?
Because you don't understand
you know
how.
Why I don't have kids. If I've you told have you kids, why I don't have kids. If I, you could, have kids. I don't have kids because I wouldn't be very good at it. I'm told by all of you guys I'm a little self-absorbed.
When Momo has a second child, she'll know she'll have to split everything between little Danny and little Ramona.
Yeah, and I got you think I'm having a girl. Okay, great. But my parents, I have a brother and I'm actually at my parents' house, the house we grew up in, okay? Cuz I'm broadcasting live from here today. Cuz they have better internet than me. And this house is like the house we both grew up in, and I would feel like upset if my parents just like gave it to my brother and I wasn't part of it. Even though if they said to me, "Hey, look, you already have a house. He lives in an apartment. We want to help him out." Yeah. And you got a good job and you already got your house. Like, how do you feel about this? I'd be okay with it.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm completely okay with enterprising Henry making a deal and scooping up the deal instead of his three siblings. So that's where I stand.
You don't care about how your siblings feel.
Break time, says Jorge. Coming up next, Michael, I want to ask you about Rondo. We haven't gotten your take on Rondo coming back to the Lakers. Plus, Dodgers now a half game behind the Giants. Big game tonight with Max Scherzer on the mound. Plus, all these rookie quarterbacks. Who's going to pan out? And are some people overselling what these kids can do? Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.